Blog Talk Radio.
Shalawan, 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 shalawan. For everybody that don't know what that means, in English, that means peace and blessing to my radio audience today. This is your radio host today, Elisheba. I am here again with Sister Radio Talk Show. I am here because I need to be here because there's a lot of things going on in our Black community that they need to discuss that nobody's paying attention to or looking at. I'm here today because I want to discuss some things that we are really going through in our Black neighborhoods. And our show today is about emotional abuse in marriage in the Black community. Let me say that again. Emotional abuse and marriage in the Black community. And this is a 7-day series, and this is broadcast number 3 of a 7-day series. Today, we're going to be talking about emotional abuse, and we're also going to be talking about marriage. So I am here today to shed some light on all of those things that's going on right now in our Black neighborhood. You know, we got all kind of emotional abuse going on. You know, kids getting killed, people getting raped, people getting shot, all kind of things are going on. But yet still, we want to act like everything is okay and nothing is wrong. There's a lot wrong, and I want to talk about it today. And again, I am your host, Elisheba, with Sister Radio Talk Show. Today, we're going to get right into the show today. Last show we had was, I think it was like 4 or 5 days ago, we had a sister named Sister Valerie was on. Oh, this sister really did give a beautiful testimony about what she went through in her life as a child, how she was abused and raped and all kind of things happened to her growing up as a little girl that affected her life when she got grown. It even affected her marriage. She couldn't trust men because she had so much insecurity from being molested when she was a child. So it just grew up in her as she became a woman. She was not able to trust anyone. And she had a lot of anger in her and issues that destroyed her life as an adult. So she was on the show a few days ago, and it was a great show. It was a great show. You can go back into the archives and listen to the recording of that show. That was tape number 2 of emotional abuse and marriage in the Black community. Forgive me if you get a little bit of problems of noise because right now my computer is down and I'm on my cell phone, so I'm doing the best I can here. So today we're going to go right into the show right now. We're going to open up our text scripture. Our text scripture is going to be coming from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. This will be our text scripture until we finish this 7-day series that we are doing about emotional abuse in marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And it reads like this. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." I'm going to go jump all the way down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So let's just talk about marriage for a while, and then we'll go into the emotional abuse. Yes, I know I was married for a very long time, 25 years, a very, very, very bad marriage, a very abusive marriage. I think in the Black community, we're just going to deal with the Black community. I think it's about 95% of marriages that are bad, that's not good. The wife is going through all kind of physical abuse, all kind of verbal abuse, all kind of emotional abuse, all kind of sexual abuse. I mean, all kind of abuse that the wife is going through with the husband. And, you know, this should not be, because, you know, if we was like Adam, if the man was like Adam when he told his wife Eve that now you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So Adam didn't beat his wife. Adam didn't hurt his wife. Adam didn't do nothing to his wife but love his wife, support his wife, spend time with his wife, and be with his wife. But now, today, our Black men, they don't understand what love is. They don't understand what being with their wife is. They don't understand what communicating with their wives is. They don't understand what loving and making their wife feel good and feel happy. You know, the Black man has become very, very selfish now. They only care about their own self, what they feel, what they want, how they want, and when they want. And this is not the way a man should be when it comes to his wife, because he's supposed to be setting an example in the household, especially if they have children. He's supposed to be setting a good example that he's loving his wife, cherishing his wife, honoring his wife, protecting his wife, taking care of his wife, and let the children see all of these good things that he are doing with his wife. But this is not going on right now. In our Black community, we have so much bad marriage. We have so many sisters that's crying because their husband beating them up. We have so many sisters that's feeling bad because their husbands don't want to talk to them. Their husbands don't want to be with them. Their husbands don't want to spend time with them. I know I was married for 25 years, and everything that I just told you, I went through that in that marriage for 25 years. That man didn't give, excuse my French, he didn't give a damn about me. He didn't give a damn about me. All he ever wanted is what he wanted. All he ever was concerned about, what he needed, when he needed it, and when he wanted it. Okay, he said he loved me, but I never did really feel that. I felt it a little bit only when he was in a good mood. But, you know, but most of the time it was just arguing and confusion and fighting and, you know, him beating me up and stomping me and knocking my teeth down my throat and so many different things that he did to me, called me all kind of names, taught me all kind of things he called me everything he could think of. Okay, so I know about being in a bad marriage with a man that don't love you. I don't care if they tell you they love you. I don't care if they say they love you. If they're not demonstrating love, and if they're not doing what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have wrote in the Bible for them to do in the way that they need to treat their wives, then they are just telling lies. They telling lies to themselves. They telling lies to you. Oh, baby, I love you. Oh, baby, I love you. Oh, I want to be with you. But yet still, they don't, you know, they don't portray that. They don't portray that. You know, they don't want to be bothered with us sisters. They don't want to spend no time with us. And when we try to get near to them, they busy. Or I'm doing something. I'll get back with you later. Right now, I'm doing something else. You know, this is not the way a man should be. You know, because Adam said he was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And they became one flesh, okay? Okay, and all these so-called brothers, this Israelite community, camps and things that's going on that say they want to marry 3 women, 5 women, 10 women. Brothers, let me tell you, you don't even know how to treat one woman. So why do you need 3, 4, and 5 women, okay? You say you want to be like David and Solomon and Abraham and all of those men of the Bible, but Abraham didn't beat his wife. Abraham didn't cuss his wife out. Abraham didn't mistreat his wife, okay? You don't see nowhere in the Bible where they beat their wife down. They mistreated their wives. Right now, I seen in the news today, I think it was on Facebook, a post that someone posted. Excuse me. A post that someone posted about one of the Hebrew Israelite camps murdered his wife. This guy was 46 years old, and this sister was only 19 years old. He convinced her to marry him. He convinced, and I really do miss my computer. He convinced her to marry him, okay? She married him, and he probably had 3 or 4 other wives. I don't know the whole situation, but I believe she was just one of the wives, but I really don't know for sure. But I know he murdered his wife. He murdered that sister. He killed that sister. Now he's in jail for murder. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? This kind of stuff should not be going on among us if we say we are men of God. We are men of God. This shouldn't be going on, sisters or moms, our brothers. Why should a man kill his wife just because he can't get her to do something that he want her to do? Or whatever the case is, because he don't supposed to hurt her. He don't supposed to put his hands on her. The Bible says he's supposed to love her, honor her, cherish her, and protect her. So, yes, sister, it's a lot of emotional abuse going on in the black community, in our marriages, all kind of things, in our relationships, in our families. Oh, you can name all the abuse that's going on among us. But nobody want to talk about it. Nobody want to give nobody counseling at the Hebrew Israelite churches, the ministries, the Christian churches. Nobody want to counsel anybody. People have mental illness going on, you know, things they've been going through since they was a child. You know, they've been raped. They've been molested. They've been beat on by their father and by their moms and all kind of stuff that went on with us as children, okay? And we have grown up today and brought all of those things into our adult life. And this is why we can't have no relationship with nobody. I'm talking about men and women right now, because men been abused just like women have been abused. We all have been abused, okay, in the black neighborhood. And I mean, the abuse that we've been through, it's beyond talked about, because it is so bad. It's so terrible, the things that we've been through as a kid, and now we're doing the same things that we went through to our children and to our families and to our mothers and to our fathers. The same thing that we went through as children, being raped, being abused, being called all kind of names, being beat on, being neglected, being rejected, lied to, all the things that we went through as a child, we are bringing that into our family life today with our children, with our wives, with our moms, with our dads, with our cousins, with our brothers, with our sisters. I mean, so much abuse that we still want to say, oh, God is good, and the God of Isaac and Jacob, that's what I call it. You probably call him Ahiah. You probably call him Yah. You probably call him Jah. You probably call him Jehovah. You probably call him Jesus. Whatever you call him. But he only had one name. But you could call him whatever you feel that his name is. But he only had one name. And that's the name that he gave to Moses. Okay? So, yes, let's just move on from that. Okay? Okay. We say that, you know, God is in our life. And God is with us, and we blessed, and we this, and we that. You know, I cannot see that in the black community. All I can see is distraught people that's being cursed by the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob before their rebellion, and also for the way that we treat one another. We treat each other bad because we've been treated bad all our life. So we keep the abuse going. Whatever we went through, we still going through it with our husbands, or the husband's still going through it with the wife, and the mom is still going through it with the daughter, and the dad is still going through it with his son, and it just never, ever ends. But now it's time for it to stop. It's time for it to stop. And I am here because I need to talk to my brothers and my sisters about what we can do to stop all of this abuse that we've been carrying from year to year, from generation to generation, from century to century. I mean, this abuse has been going on for thousands of years. And you read the Bible, you look in the Bible, you can see how the children of Israel, they was burning their children up. They was burning their children up for a God can't call Baal, okay? They was burning, killing their own kids just for a God. So this abuse have been going on for generations, since ancient times. And, you know, it's just sickening now. When you look at the news and you see that this man don't kill his 19-year-old wife, or this man don't kill this black man now, he done killed the little boy that's 4 years old. Or he done raped the little girl that's 5 years old. Or he done raped a little boy. I think I heard something on the news, too, where a little boy, he was downstairs and his mom was upstairs, okay? And he heard a knock on the door, and he answered the door. I mean, he didn't say who it was. He just opened the door. And when he opened the door, they put a gun up to his head. I think this little boy was 12 years old. They put a gun up to his head, and they raped him. They sodomized this 12-year-old little boy. This man came in there with a gun, and he was a homosexual, and he sodomized this little boy so bad that the little boy was in critical condition. See, this is the kind of stuff going on in the black neighborhood that don't nobody want to discuss. Oh, don't nobody want to talk about. Oh, we'll just throw it under the rug, and TMA, she'll help us. That's what they call the God of the Hebrews now. Most of the Hebrew Israelites call it TMH, or they call him Yah or Jai or something like that, or Ahayah. Okay, but they, you know, and they just want to keep on acting like nothing is going on. But it's a lot going on. And it's a lot going on. And the God of Abraham is not pleased, number one, for our rebellion. Number two, for the way we treat one another, the way we mistreat one another. And I'm talking about the men. You want to have so many wives. You want to have so many women. You want to do all of these things. And you still just, you don't even know how to talk to the one wife and treat the one wife. But then you got three more wives. Man, what are you going to do, man? You can't do nothing, man. You are lost. You confused. You messed up. You empty. You dry. You know why? Because you went through abuse as a little boy yourself. And you never growed up because your mama talked to you a bad way. She mistreats you. And I know my husband, the one that I was married to for 25 years. Excuse me. I believe the reason that he abused me is because he was abused by his mom. His mom used to burn him with irons. His mom used to beat on him. His mom used to put cigarettes out on his skin. His mom used to call him all kind of names. His family, his brothers and sisters used to verbally abuse him so bad. They made him feel like he was nothing but a dog, okay? And he growed up with all this hatred inside of him. And I'm talking to the brothers right now. I'm testifying about the man that I was married to for 25 years. They just made him feel bad. And he growed up with all of that inside of him. He growed up with all the hatred inside. He growed up with all the mistrust inside. You know, he didn't trust nobody, okay? He believed that everybody was his enemy. He believed that everybody wanted to kill him. You know, he was mentally ill because of all the abuse that he went through as a child. And this is what's wrong with us, men and women. We are mentally abused. We are mental because we've been abused. It has become a mental issue in our life that we don't have no control of, okay? And he just, you know, he always talked to me and say, you know, my mom, she ain't right. You know, she didn't do me right. But he still loved his mom. He still loved his mom. And, you know, his mom never apologized to him for the things that she did to him and the way she mistreated him and abused him. And she just made, he grew up just a terrible man. He was just a terrible man. You know, he always thought that, you know, I was out cheating on him or doing something wrong on him. You know, that, you know, all kind of things that he just accused me of. Oh, he didn't have no confidence. He didn't have no trust. He was insecure. You know, he would come home drunk and just start putting his hands on me. And, you know, and it just went on and on for so many years. So I'm telling you, we all been abused very, very bad, very, very bad. And, you know, he never did get help. I used to tell him, well, you know what? You need, you know, because he was the kind of man, he was paranoid, too. And that's probably why that brother killed that 19-year-old girl, because he was also paranoid and schizophrenic and mental ill and crazy, okay? And crazy. Who gonna take somebody's life, man? Somebody they supposed to be loving and being with and protecting. Who gonna do that? Nothing but a person with mental illness. That's what it is. And my husband had it very, very bad. He was very, very badly mental ill. He was a psycho, okay? He was schizophrenic, okay? He was so schizophrenic that I feared my life so many times being with him, so many days, so many years being with him. But I loved him so much, and I was so attached and wanted to be with him that I never could walk away from it. So I just stayed in the abuse for so many years, and it just messed me up, sisters. It messed me up so bad. Right now, I got so much anger in me. I have so much resentment in me. I have so much guilt in me. I have so much animosity in me. I have so much grudge in me. All the stuff that, you know, and God is helping me. He have helped me. He have helped me. You know, really, I shouldn't even be in my right mind right now, all the stuff I've been through. You know, even with my husband, you know, just beating me and verbally abusing me, sexually abusing me, tormenting me, you know, all kind of stuff, putting fear in me, you know, just all kind of things I went through. But, you know, my husband had the mental illness so bad and the schizophrenic from what he went through as a child, the abuse that he brought into his adult life, that he would even think the next door neighbors was trying to kill him and hurt him and do bad things to him. And they was never trying to do none of those things to him. It was all in his mind. It was all in his mind. He was very paranoid and schizophrenic. And he would go to the market, and he'll go to the grocery store, and he'll come back home and say, you know what? That security guy had a gun. I need to go back up to that store and kill him. I said, no, honey, that security guard ain't doing nothing to you. He's just doing his job. I'm just testifying right now of the abuse that my husband went through, and he brought it into his adult life and into our marriage. This is what I went through, this kind of stuff, being married to this man that was mental ill and schizophrenic. No, he didn't do anything to you. Don't go around there and do nothing to that man. That man ain't hurting you. No, he trying to kill me. He got a gun in his pocket. And all kind of stuff he would say. All kind of things, bizarre things he would say. Just because he was abused by his mom and by his brothers and sisters growing up. Okay? And I used to tell him, honey, you need to go get some help. You need to go to the doctor and see if you can get some kind of counseling. or some kind of help. And you know what he would tell me? I don't need no counseling. You the one crazy, not me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You the one crazy. They crazy. Them people crazy. My neighbor's crazy. I'm not crazy. This is the kind of things he would say. And he never did get help. He never did get help. And he continued to abuse me for so many years. I went through a physical abuse with him, I know, for at least 10 years. And then verbal abuse, once I became a pastor of a Christian church, I'm testifying right now. Once I became a pastor of a Christian church, he stopped putting his hands on me. He stopped physically abusing me. And then he just started verbally abusing me a whole lot. You know, and just not giving me the attention and the love and the support that I wanted to have from him being my husband. He rejected me. He made me feel lonely. He made me feel afraid. He made me feel miserable. I had low self-esteem. I used to be so beautiful when I was young. When I married him, I was 20 years old when I married him. And he was like 21. I was so beautiful and young and vibrant and beautiful and looking good, beautiful body, everything. And I just stayed in that marriage. And, you know, once I started getting like 30-some years old, I just started eating a lot. And I got real fat and real big and real obese and real depressed and real miserable and real everything. And you know what? The only way that marriage ended, God took my husband's life out of this world. That's the only way it ended, because I didn't have enough faith and I didn't have enough sense and I didn't have enough strength to walk away from something that was destroying my life. And it did destroy my life. It did destroy my life in so many ways. I could see the destruction that it did to me. And I'm here to tell you sisters, mainly the sisters, because the women are more gooder than the men. I hate to say that, but it's true. The men are the ones that abuse us more than we abuse them. Okay? So I'm here to tell you sisters. You know, some sisters abuse men. They say bad things to them, call them names, call them all out their name, tell them they ain't this, they ain't this. You know, and just mistreat them. Some women do that, but it's all because they've been abused too. So everything that's bad in our life, the bad relationships, men and women, it comes from emotional abuse. So I destroyed myself being married to that man. So I'm here to tell you, sisters, if you are in a bad marriage right now, and you feeling depressed, and you feeling miserable, and you feeling lonely, and you feeling rejected, and you feeling sad, you feeling weak, you feeling terrible, you feeling like that man don't love you, and that man don't care about you, and that man don't want you, then you know what, sister? What you feeling is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And I'm here to tell you, you need to walk away, sister. You need to walk away. If you got enough strength in you and enough willpower in you to walk away from something that's not making you feel good, then I'm telling you, you will be doing the right thing. I'm telling you, because you know what? I prayed many, many years for my husband to change, and he never did change. He never did. He ended up losing his leg with sugar diabetes. He got his leg cut off. This is my testimony, just one of them. I've been through many, many, many abusive situations. This is one of them. He got his leg cut off and from sugar diabetes, and, you know, he died 2 years later. So I'm just letting you know, man. I'm letting you know. It's never going to stop. The abuse is never going to end in our Black community, man. It's never going to end because we won't let it end. We don't want it to end. We keep on fueling the fire. You know, we know this man is not good for us. We know this man don't love us. We know this man don't want us. And we just stay in it like fools. like we can't do nothing else but be with a man that don't want us. That's how much low self-esteem we have. That's how much low self-esteem we have as women, as black women, the most beautiful creatures on the face of the earth. Our self-esteem is so low. We're so broken. We're so confused, and we're so lost. And we just stay in something that hurt us and destroy our lives. And then when we get in another relationship, we take that same madness and that same mess that we went through with the first relationship to that next relationship. So when is the abuse going to end? When is the abuse going to end in our black community? Who care about us? Nobody care about us. They glad we killing each other. They glad we destroying each other. They glad that our marriage is not working. They glad that the men is killing their wives. They glad that the men is beating their wives down. They happy. They happy. Who is they? The people that is in control of this world. You know who they is. I don't have to call any names. You already know who they are. The ones that enslaved our ancestors when they got off the ship 500 years ago. They are happy. They are happy that we are destroying one another. We are destroying our children. We are destroying ourselves. We are destroying our men. We are destroying our moms and our dads. And you know what? We're not doing nothing about it. And that's the sad thing about it. We just want to go to church. We just want to go to church. That's all we want to do. Just go to church. Go up into the Christian church. Go up into the Muslim church. Go up into the synagogues. Go up into the Hebrew Israelite community churches. Okay, that's all we want to do. That's all we care about. But we're not getting nowhere, man. We're not getting nowhere. Our people are hurting. Our people are dying. Our people are being destroyed. Our people are being killed, man. Okay, that girl lost her life 19 years old because she was married to a mental, psychotic, sick man. Okay, that called himself, I don't know if he was an elder or whatever he was. He probably was just an officer of the Hebrew, one of the Hebrew camps. He was sick, man. He called himself a man of God. And he killed his own wife. And you trying to tell me it's okay for us to continue to go up in these Hebrew Israelite churches and camps? No. God is trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something now. But you people want to stay asleep. You don't want to wake up. You don't want to see the truth. You don't want to see the reality. You don't want to see anything but what you want to see. But you know what? That was just one death. More is coming. You know why? Because we still want to stay asleep. We don't want to wake up and face reality and face truth and face what's really going on in our black neighborhoods. The church is not helping you, man. The elders not helping you, man. They're not counseling these women. These sisters broken, man. They broken. They hurting. I know I was for many, many years, and I didn't have nobody. Nobody. Even when I became a pastor. Excuse me. I had went through, I'm testifying. I'm just talking what I feel right now. I have a couple more scriptures. Even when I became a pastor, okay? I had been in abuse with my husband for 10 years before I even became a pastor. Okay? My pastor didn't do nothing to help me. I went to my pastor. I was a pastor of a Christian church. I went to my pastor and told him. My husband was calling me all kind of names and mistreating me. What did my pastor do? He didn't do nothing. He didn't pray for me. I think he did try to go talk to my husband one time, maybe once or twice, but that wasn't enough, sisters. It was not enough. We need to have group therapy. We need to have some kind of support for one another, for each other. The brothers need to have some kind of group therapy, mentorship, where they can sit down and talk about the things that they've been through in their life that's destroying them, because they don't want to talk to their wives. They don't want to talk to us about nothing. We go to them all the time. What's wrong with you, honey? What's wrong with you, honey? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong? No, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. I'm okay. Nothing is wrong with me. Just let me watch my TV. Just let me play my video game. Just let me go to my friend's house with them. Nothing is wrong. You cannot talk to these men. You cannot talk to these men. They don't want to talk to us, sisters. They don't want to talk to us. They push us to the side. They don't care. But, sisters, I'm here to tell you today that we can end this abuse. Brothers, we can end this abuse. We got to start talking amongst each other. We got to start telling what's wrong with us, what's going on in our life, in our family life. What happened to us when we was kids? I know I was raped, molested, all kind of stuff, okay? I told you that was just one abuse issue that I had. I had several, okay? We need to form group therapy. I'm telling you, talking about it, having somebody you can confide in, about it will help us. It will help us. But us being silent, sister, it ain't going to go away. And I'm going to read another scripture. It ain't going to go away. I got my priest started when I was 3 years old. 3 years old. I started getting raped, molested, played with. Okay? People playing up there inside of my vagina area. My uncle raping me, my cousins, okay, women raping me. I went through a lot of rape and a lot of sexual abuse and child molestation, okay? So much, sister, that I can't even count it. That's how many times, okay? And I'm not ashamed to tell it no more. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. Because you know what? I have overcame because I decided that I needed to tell somebody, that I needed to talk to somebody about it. That's what happened to my husband. He never talked to nobody about it. He never talked to anybody. Only person he told probably was just me, that he opened up to. That he opened up to. And talked about it. Excuse me. Give me a minute, please. And talked about it. This is the problem. Let me read a scripture now. And this is part three of a 7-day series, Emotional Abuse in Marriage in the Black Community. Our next scripture will be Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. Mark in the New Testament, chapter 12. Let me get it. I know y'all been abused, men and women. You've been raped, been verbally abused. You've been beat on by your mom and your dad, your cousins. You've been bullied all in school. You've been rejected. You've been through a whole lot of abuse. And you just think it's going to go away. It's never going to go away. It's never going to go away until you talk about it and you face it. You have to face it. You have to face, why did this happen to me? What went wrong? My mom was an alcoholic. That's why it happened to me. And she just didn't, excuse my French again, but I'm talking out of what I feel. She just didn't give a damn. Okay? She just didn't give a damn. All she cared about is her liquor, her alcohol. That's all she cared about. She didn't care about her 3-year-old daughter, her 4-year-old daughter, her 5-year-old daughter. She didn't care. She took me everywhere where people can hurt me and molest me. Everywhere, all the time. And I kept telling, look, mama, at 5 years old, I don't want to go over them people's house. Them people are going to hurt me. They're going to rape me. They're going to molest. But she didn't care. So you know what that meant to me? As I grow up, I could see it more and more. That my mom never really did love me. Because I don't care if you drank a whole barrel of liquor. Ain't nobody going to hurt my kids. I can drink a whole barrel right now. Ain't nobody going to hurt my kids. I ain't going to let nobody hurt my kids. For no reason at all. So that's the indication. When stuff like that happened to you and your mom let it happen, she just don't care nothing about you, man. Let me try to get the scripture. The fan is blowing and it's hot and all kinds. But Mark chapter 12. Verse 29 says, and I'm going to read it just how I see it because I don't believe in that name Jesus anymore. I used to when I was a Christian pastor. I'm just going to say Messiah because I don't want to offend nobody that might be on the line calling him Yahshua, whatever you call it. So I'm just going to say the Messiah. And Messiah answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The first thing we need to do, people, why we have so much abuse, our parents was abused, our daddies was abused, their daddy was abused, their mama was abused, her mama was abused, and it just go on and on forever. We some messed up people, man. We some toe up from the floor up to the floor down around the corner. And everybody pretending like nothing never happened to them. I'm talking about your mama, my mama, their mama, her daddy, his daddy, your auntie, your grandma, your cousin. They all acting like nothing ever happened to them. They wearing a mask, man. The whole world, especially the black community. I'm going to deal with them. That's what I'm talking about. They wearing a mask, man. Everybody wearing a mask. I'm okay. Nothing is wrong with me. But you've been molested. You've been raped. You've been verbally abused. You've been beat on. You've been rejected. You've been all through all loneliness, self-pity, guilt, resentment. All of these things is going on, but nothing is wrong. And we need to hear God. We need to hear God, number one, because he's the only one. Let me put something like this. He's the only one that can really help us, to be honest. He's the only one can help us, okay? He's the only one that helped me My mama didn't help me. She knew what she put me through all them years. As a child, even when I became a teenager, she still abused me verbally, calling me all kind of bad things, saying bad things to me. She knew what she took me through, sisters and brothers. And she never tried to correct it. She never even tried to correct it. Okay? So God, even as a child, I was hurting so bad because of my abuse. I had to get on my knees at 3 years old and cry out to God for him to help me. For him to help me, sisters, brothers. There was no one, nothing but abuse, nothing but pain, nothing but sorrow, nothing but misery, nothing but rejection, nothing but loneliness, nothing but sadness, nothing but torment. These are all the things I went through from a child all the way up into my adult life. And right now today, I still wrestle with loneliness, rejection, resentment. I'm still wrestling with a lot of things. Okay? But we need to hear God. That's what the scriptures say right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So if he's one Lord, why do we have so many names for this one Lord? Oh, his name is this, and his name is that, and his name is Yahashua, his name is Yahweh, his name is this, his name is Jesus. Okay, why do he have so many names if it's just one Lord? But we need to hear him, because he want to help us. He wants to help us. And don't give me that, oh, he is helping me. Well, if he's helping us, why do we have so much killing and death in our black community? Excuse me, I have a problem right now.
CDL! The dogs getting out!
Excuse me, I have a problem. The dogs are getting out the gate.
Get Mimi inside! She went down the street, Mimi! Get in here!
I'm sorry. And again, I say I need my cell phone. I need my computer. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. So if we love in God like that, because we say we're keeping the law, we keeping a Sabbath day. We serving the right God now. We know his right name. We Israel. Okay. If we loving him like that with all our soul, why did that black man in the Hebrew community kill his 19-year-old wife? And why? Why? All our sisters, I say 90% of our sisters that's married to these black men, I ain't going to even say Hebrew Israelite men, black men are going through so much emotional abuse in their marriage. And we say, we got the right God name now, we Israel, we Hebrew Israelites, we keeping the law. If you was keeping the law, brother, you would be loving your wife. You would be protecting your wife. You're a hypocrite, man. Stop playing with your own self. Because God sees what you're doing. He sees you. You're just a hypocrite. You playing. You playing around, man. And you're going to get hurt if you keep playing around with God and keep playing around with his daughters. Hurt his daughters, his women. Okay? You're going to get hurt, man. I'm telling you. These brothers, sisters, they full of it, man. They full of it, man. They are not men of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not, man. And I'm talking about 90% of them. 90. They are not, man. Even in the Christian church, they are not, man. They are nothing but liars. They are nothing but abusers. That's all they is. They just want to mistreat us. That's all they want. They don't want to love us. They abuse. They wicked. They've been hurt. They've been tormented in their life. But they don't want to tell you about it. So, because they don't want to tell you about it, they don't want to tell nobody about it. They're still wrestling with the pain that's inside the soul. Let me go to my next scripture. I'm running out of time. The next scripture will be, okay, let me read 30, verse 30. Let me read that one. I'm sorry. I did read that. So we need to hear God and we need to love God. We don't love God, man. We love ourselves. Men and women. We love ourselves, man. We're not doing what God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of the Hebrews want us to do, man. We ain't doing nothing, man. We ain't doing nothing. Can't you see the black community ain't doing nothing? They ain't going nowhere. They ain't getting nowhere. They're just running around in a big old circle. And they're hurting and killing and destroying one another. That's what's going on. We're hurting and killing our own selves, our children. Look at our children, my God. They're so miserable, man. They're so depressed. They so broken. They so lost. Because we don't even talk to them about nothing. All we care about, black women, sisters, I'm talking to y'all right now, because I'm a black woman myself. All we care about is looking good, putting some makeup on and some nails and eyeliners and eyebrows and eyelashes and, you know, getting a booty shot or making our booties bigger and our titties bigger, thinking a man gonna want us because we doing all these things. He ain't gonna never want you. I don't care what you put on. I don't care what you put on, sisters. I don't care what you do to yourself to make yourself beautiful. They don't want us. Wake up, sisters. They don't want us because they don't even want their own selves. They hate their own self because Adam told his wife, you are bone of my bones. You are my real. So if a man mistreat their wife, then they mistreating their own selves. They mistreating their own flesh. So that's why I say, sisters, it don't matter what you do. It don't matter what you wear. I don't care you get candlelight dinner, take them to the hotel, spend $100, whatever you do. They not going to appreciate it, sisters. They ain't going to mean nothing. Absolutely nothing to them because they don't have no emotions. They can feel nothing. They are frozen inside like a cold piece of rock. They are frozen. You know a frozen rock. That's how they is inside. No emotions. No feelings. No love. No laughter. No leadership. They don't want to talk to you to tell you which way we need to go in the family. Where do we need to go? What are we going to do in the family? They have no leadership, period, man. Because they are nothing but stones inside. And you better get away from it. And if you did leave, don't go back. I'm telling you right now. Because When that brother killed his sister in the Hebrew Israelite, I mean, I'm sorry, his wife in the Hebrew Israelite community, that's telling us right there that something is going on very, very bad among us, the black community. And it's just a warning, sisters. It's just a warning. The God of Abraham trying to warn you to wake up and stop thinking about these men wanting you and loving you so much, because they don't want you. They don't want nobody. They don't want themselves. They don't even want you in their presence. Oh, my God. If a man don't want a woman in their presence, do you think they really want you? Oh, no, sisters. Oh, no, sisters. Oh, no. Let me read the other scripture. No, ma'am. No. It's going to get worse, sir. It's going to get better. Now, I'm letting you know now, my husband's life was took before he killed me. But for 25 years, I thought he was going to kill me. But I was so in love with him that I couldn't walk away from him, even if he killed me. That's how much I wanted to be with him. And he never wanted me. He went to his deathbed calling me a bitch and a hoe and a lesbian and a prostitute and this and that. Okay? He never wanted me. He only wanted me for his own selfish reasons, just like all the black men and the black community. They only want you for their own selfish reasons. And then when they get tired of you, they're going to throw you to the curb, man, and get somebody else. And then when they get tired of that woman, they're going to throw her to the curb, man, and get somebody else. Wake up, sisters. We don't need them, man. We don't need them. We don't need them. You know, we don't need them. What, we need them for sex? Oh, my God, man. The sex that they give us is not really sex. To be honest, think about it, sister. Ain't no love. It's sex, but it's not love. You don't want that. I'm trying to finish here, man. Bear with me, man. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. Verse 31 of Mark chapter 12. We need to keep the commandments, he said. This is the first commandment, to love God, to hear him, to love him, to do what he says. Don't give me, I'm keeping the Sabbath stuff. I'm keeping the holy days. No, but you're not hearing God. So what difference does that make if you keep a holy day or the Sabbath, or even saying that you're a Hebrew Israelite, when you're not hearing God? That's what happened to the brother that killed his wife. He wasn't hearing God. He wasn't hearing nobody but the elders of that camp. And what was they telling him? Nothing, man, to help him. Nothing to help him, man. He was going through emotional pain, suffering, abuse, sickness, disease, all kind of stuff was airing at this brother's mind, tormented in his mind. He didn't get nothing from them elders, man, just like you not getting nothing other than, oh, you Israel, oh, come to the Passover. Oh, that's all you're going to get, man. You ain't going to get real life from them. Ain't going to talk about their life and what they've been through and all of that, how they got raped when they was a little boy and their daddy raped them, their mama raped them, and their mama beat on them. Them elders ain't going to tell you none of that stuff. You know why? Because they don't want to look bad in front of you, because they want you to keep doing what they want you to do, okay, to control you and get the money. Hold on. Hold on. Verse 31. And I'm about to close up now. 31 verse. Come on. It says, and the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is none other commandment greater than these. So we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Our brothers, our sisters. Who is our neighbor? Our kids, our mama, our sisters, our daddies, our the stranger walking down the street. They are our neighbors. If you love, brother, your wife like you love yourselves, you wouldn't hurt them. You wouldn't destroy them. You wouldn't say nasty, mean, cruel things to them to make them feel like they're nothing and nobody. If you love them, if you was keeping the commandments, these are the greatest two. So love the one that you're doing, keeping the Sabbath and the holy days and setting up in front of them elders and going to the Passover service, they don't mean nothing. Absolutely nothing, brother. And I'm just here to correct you, because as a woman of God and a prophetess of God, I can do that. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent me to do that. Because you guys need some corrections. Because these elders and these pastors and these bishops, they're not correcting you. They don't care what you do. They don't care if your wife, the husband beat the wife down. They don't care if the wife mistreating the husband. They don't care, man. They don't care. Believe me. But I care, because I'm a servant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you got to be corrected. Because you know what? When the fire break out, you can't say that God didn't send correction and warning to you brothers and you sisters. And I'm mainly talking to you men, because y'all the leaders and the heads, but you're acting like little puppet, scary, coward boys that don't know how to love a woman and treat a woman good. Disrespect a woman. Disrespect a woman, and you disrespecting yourself. I'm going to the next verse, Leviticus 19:18. I give God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all praise, all glory, and all honor right now. Leviticus 19. And I got about 15 minutes left, I think. Let me look at this. Yeah. Leviticus. Hopefully this tape turned out right. Because like I said, I'm on my cell phone, and this is my first time recording on this. But hopefully, I pray to God that it come out so I can hear it and it can go up. Leviticus 19, verse 18. And it says, I'm reading out of the King James Version Bible. Get out the camps, man. They ain't doing nothing, man. Can't you see that? Get out of them. Get out the Christian church. You don't need no church. You don't need no religion. You don't need no man telling you nothing. The only person you need is the Father telling you what to do. Because he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. That's who you need. You don't need no religion and no congregation and all that stuff just sitting up in there doing the same things every Sabbath and every Sunday. Believe me, and it's never going to change. 19, it said, Leviticus 18:19. Ooh, the fan is just blowing me away. 19:18, oh my God. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We don't supposed to have no revenge. No revenge. Why did the brother kill his wife? Why is the mamas killing their kids? Why is the daddy killing his son over a piece of cheesecake? Why is the pastor shooting their brothers because he ate a cereal? Come on, man. Why is the mama beating their kids to death and throwing them in the garage and lock them in closets and ain't giving them no food? Because they have a venge in their heart and they have grudge in their hearts because they've been emotionally abused as childs. As children and as adults. So they're killing their kids. They're killing their mama. They're killing their daddy. I just read too on the news. This was a white family. The sister had just moved in a house, right? And it goes on with people too, just like the black. We all got emotional abuse. But I'm dealing with the black community because I'm black and I want to know what's going on and how we can fix and stop this stuff in our neighborhood. But the girl that's his sister, she was having a housewarming, right? And she invited her family over and everything, and her brother came. And you know what happened? She had just moved in the house. She just had bought the house. The brother came. He came to the housewarming party and shot the whole party up, man, and killed his sister, shot her to death. So you trying to tell me, man, that these churches is doing something for us? No, man. No, religion ain't doing nothing for nobody and never will. Nobody going to do nothing for you but the Father, okay? He killed his sister, shot her to death. Why? Because he had vengeance in his heart towards his family. Do y'all see what's going on? When have religion ever helped anybody? When have religion, Hebrew Israelite camps, churches, mugs, all these religions, when have they ever helped us? They didn't help me. I was growing up in the church and still was getting raped, still was getting abused. Still was getting rejected and cussed out and mistreated. And I was raised up in church, went to Sunday school, all that, got baptized, all that. Okay? Singing in the choir, all of that, was getting raped. Getting verbally abused by my mama. My uncle raping, my grandma raping me. No, man. Get out of it. Walk away from it and walk to your God. Walk to your God, the one that's been calling us since we've been born in this world. He hates religion because religion takes us away from him. And we begin to do what man wants instead of doing what he wants. One more scripture. You got to get the vengeance out. I got 10 minutes. Ephesians 5:25. We're closing out to the last hour now, the last few minutes. Ephesians 5:25. Too much vengeance. That's why we hate each other. We can't get along with our mom. We can't get along with our friends. I don't want to talk to my sister. I don't want to talk to my brother. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm still mad at them from 10 years ago. I don't want to talk to my mama. I don't want to forgive nobody. I don't care if they're hungry. I don't care if they're broke. I don't care if they're home. I ain't going to help them. I ain't going to do nothing for nobody. All I'm going to do is go to my church and pay my tithes and keep the Sabbath and keep Sunday worship. That's all I'm going to do. And guess what? I'm saved. And I'm a Hebrew Israelite. And I'm pleasing God. Oh, my God. Give me a break, man. You are a fool. You are a fool, man. Let me try to find this. I'm about to close. Ephesians 5. You know, we fools, man. We think the people going to ever do something. Look at our children, man. The man got his neck cut. A little 17-year-old boy got his neck cut off by a cut slit. They see slit the little boy's throat because the little boy had on music, rap music. And he said the rap music was disturbing him. Made him fearful. This a white guy cut his throat, man. A 17-year-old black kid
and we ain't doing nothing but sitting around running up in these churches and talking about, I'm going to get married, he got three wives, I'm going to be wife number four, and all of this madness, man, and all of this mess that's going on.
You better stop, man, because God is about to really do something to us very seriously. Ephesians. The wind is blowing. That's what it is. The fan, man. They don't want to let me find that. Hold on. Ephesians 5. Verse 25. And it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wives. But you can't love them. Because you can't love yourself. You can't love God. You can't love nobody. Because you're full of bitterness. You're full of anger. You're full of resentment. You're full of hatred. You're full of rejection, misery, abuse. You're full of all kind of things. You're not ready for marriage, man. Don't even fool yourself. Sisters, don't even fool yourself and ever think that all black men are ready for marriage. They're just little boys that's trapped inside of a lonely body because they've been so messed up in life. And you know what? We can't do nothing to help them, sister. The only thing we can do, we can't even pray them through this. Because I tried to pray my husband through it, and it never worked. The only thing we can do, sister, is save our own selves and bag up. Bag all the way up, sisters. And go to your God and let him give you what you need. Let him give you what you need. Until he fix our black men and make them the men that he wants them to be and the men that they're supposed to be, like their father, Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't kill their wife. They didn't beat on their wives. They didn't do none of those horrible things that they do to us. And they said, God is their father. No, God is not your father, man. The devil is. Okay? So, yes, sister, bag up. Bag up. Bag up, sisters. Bag all the way up. You hear me? And be strong. And know that God, your Father, will take care of you. And he will provide for you. He have for me for many, many years. And my husband been dead now 7 years. He have provided for me all these years. Okay? So I want you to have a blessed day, sisters, and understand that we got children that we need to take care of. Our kids, man. Our kids, we losing a generation. We losing our children, man. Our mom and them already lost us to abuse, through pain, to emotional abuse, molestation, all kind of stuff. They lost us. They didn't care. They just let us go to the dogs or whatever. They didn't care which way we went, what happened to us. They allow all these things to happen to us because they didn't protect us. They didn't care about protecting us. And they don't want to talk about it. And they don't want to discuss it. Right now today, my mama would not talk about what happened to me when I was a child and why it happened. But lately, I've been feeling like confronting her. Okay, I've been feeling like confronting her because I'm about to write a book about my life and I'm going to have to confront her and many, many more that hurted me. So bag up, sisters. Bag up, man. Bag up. Let these brothers alone, man, or you end up getting hurt or you end up getting killed or you end up getting destroyed, worse than what you already are. We already messed up through our own abuse, what we've been through. We can't handle their abuse too. We can't handle their abuse and what we've been through all too. That's too much, man. It's going to drive us crazy. It's going to drive us nuts, man. Back up, man. Back up. Let these men grow up. Let God put them through the ringer, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to whoop their butt so hard and chastise them so bad because they what they letting go on with the women, because they're supposed to be our heads and our leaders and taking care of their children, and they ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing nothing. So you have a great day, sisters, brothers. Thank you for letting me talk to you and share with you what I've been through in my life. Shalom. And know that, hey, you can call me anytime, and we can start this healing process. We can start it together, because that's what we need to be healed. It's going to take us to open up our mouth, open up our heart, our mind, and confess before our Father so we can be healed from all this emotional abuse.